About 20 years ago, the big news of the day was the self-inflicted death of 39 people, part of a religious cult, who thought their action would gain them transport to better life on another planet. They were a group of misguided souls who felt that life on this planet had nothing to offer. Troubled as we may be in many of our struggles for survival on planet Earth, you and I hold in our hearts and hands the key to making it a place where people find meaning and purpose. It is our sins that dim our own eyes to the goodness of life as God has given it to us here. Of course, it are sins that would keep us from safe transport to the better life yet to come in heaven. We come here today on this Good Friday, as we do each year, to repent of the sins that muddy and pollute the fresh waters of life in our world, that make it a place less desirable for human habitation. Jesus came to live on this planet some 2,000 years ago as a human being. He came to bring new light and hope to a world steeped in the darkness and despair of sin. His death and his rising offer us the only sure hope of safe passage to that better world of immortality and eternal happiness. Jesus came to show us by example how our words and deeds might begin a reign of goodness in the world. His word from the cross, "Father, forgive them," shows a new way of responding to violence. Rather than resist the suffering unjustly inflicted upon him, he obediently accepted death on the cross as part of the Father's plan for our redemption. Revenge is replaced by reconciliation. Resistance is replaced by obedience. Enmity is replaced by goodwill. Let us seek with Christ our high priest, who offers the sacrifice of himself on the cross. Let us especially seek a new way of thinking, speaking, acting toward one another in conformity with the thoughts and words and deeds of Jesus of Nazareth. Imagine the changes that we could bring to life on this planet if we begin to live more fully the image of Christ. If we could clear away the clouds of jealousy, quarrel, and suspicion, we could live in the sunshine of gratefulness, healing affirmation, trust in our relationships. Imagine what a restored paradise might be like. Or imagine how our present world could change if each one of us would begin to live without sin in the environment we have today. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is model for us in that too. None of us would yield to lust or passion. The filth on magazine racks and internet pages would not sell. We would no longer fear our children's exposure to things they ought not see, nor would the addictive substances over which we spend a lot of time and energy have to be a concern. Since none of us would grasp at another's possessions, we would no longer fear invasion or the theft of our cars, our garages, our homes. And since none of us would be tempted by excessive gambling or other risk-laden profit ventures, we would have enough to support ourselves and our hungry neighbor, as well as the needs of charity. But as it is, we still have a long way to go. Most of us, in fact, are still good and well-intentioned overall, simply just those few pesky areas where we fall again and again. And there, Christ, who fell three times under the weight of the wood, bids us get up once more and continue the journey. He is ready with forgiveness in each of our 70 times 7 falls. Most of us are good and responsible drivers. Just a few who run the red lights, or who may drive recklessly, or while intoxicated, or Perhaps inattentively forget to yield at an intersection or something of that nature. They give our kind a bad name and make the highway patrol necessary. Most youth are fine and responsible young citizens, simply those few who do the drugs or form the gangs who give the rest a bad name. Most Catholics and Christians are well-intentioned and decent people overall. Yet we know we do have a long way to go to really live up to the name of Jesus Christ. There are what we call the reproaches, the traditional prayers of reproach that Jesus offers from the cross as we come for the veneration. All you who pass by this way, look and see. When we come forward to venerate the cross, the symbol of Jesus' redeeming death, we touch with our hand, or we lightly kiss the wood, or we bow or bend the knee for a brief moment, any of those optional gestures, we each take that moment to renew our personal commitment to walk the journey of discipleship with Christ, to take up the cross and follow him. So as we pass this way, venerating the cross, let us look to see the one who showed us the Father's great love in clear and unmistakable language. The Word made flesh, who lives yet among us, one like us in every way but sin, laid down his life for his friends. There is no greater love, says the Lord, than to lay down one's life for a friend. Looking to the cross, we see the high priest who sympathizes with our weakness, the son who cried out to the Father for help in this moment of greatest suffering. These words of the reproaches are among the traditional meditations offered during the time of veneration, a way of remembering the ways God showed divine love by delivering the people of the covenant from bondage in the Exodus from Egypt. How the suffering of Christ shows our rejection of that love. They're not in your worship aid, but they are in the sacramentary, and they are as follows. My people, what have I done to you? How have I offended you? Answer me. I led you out of Egypt, from slavery to freedom, but you led your Savior to the cross. For 40 years, I led you safely through the desert. I fed you with manna from heaven, and brought you to a land of plenty, but you led your Savior to the cross. What more could I have done for you? I planted you as my fairest vine, but you yielded only bitterness. When I was thirsty, you gave me vinegar to drink, and you pierced your Savior with a lance. For your sake, I scourged your captors and their firstborn sons, but you brought your scourges down on me. I opened the sea before you, but you opened my side with a spear. I led you on your way in a pillar of cloud. You led me to Pilate's court. I gave you saving water from the rock. You gave me gall and vinegar to drink. For you I struck down the kings of Canaan. You struck my head with a reed. I gave you a royal scepter. You gave me a crown of thorns. I raised you to a height of majesty, but you have raised me high on a cross. My people, what have I done to you? How have I offended you? Answer me. As we pass this way, let us look to see the one whom we too have led to the cross by our sins against one another, whom we pierce with the lance of our sharp words against brother or sister, whom we have scourged with slanderous speech against a neighbor, whom we have led to Pilate's court through our rash judgment of one another, whom we have struck with a reed through any form of violence, whom we have crowned with thorns through inflicting emotional and physical stress on ourselves and others, whom we have raised on a cross when we put ourselves and others down through false pride. As we pass this way, let us look and see the one who forgives us all these offenses, though he has done nothing to offend us. As we pass this way, let us allow forgiveness to penetrate the very depth of our being, and give us courage to start once more the walk of freedom. Let us hear him speak to each of us as he did to John from the cross. Behold your mother. Each of us is given the care of her who intercedes for all, as Mother of the Church. Let us hear him speak to each one of us, behold your son, your daughter. We are entrusted as brothers and sisters of Christ to the care of one another, as John was to care for Jesus' mother in the manner of a son. We are bound in relationship as children of one loving God. And so as we prepare to approach the cross, we will offer our intercessions for the family of God's people, the church and its leaders, clergy and laity, those to be baptized, the unity of Christians, for those yet to believe in Christ and in God, for civic leaders, and for